Glory to God. I'm going to exhort you for a moment over the offering. And really, I'm not. You guys are the givingest people that on planet Earth, I think. And just to be honest with you, we don't really take up an offering every time trying to milk more money, just to be honest. I used to feel that way at conventions when I first got saved, and I don't want to mention names, but some of the big conventions I'd go to at every service. I mean, you're there, you know, like four services a day, and there's an offering every service. And so I thought, okay, I've only got this much money. There's going to be this many services this week. Because I would feel guilty if I didn't give into each and every one, you know. And so, my goodness, so I divided up, okay, I can give $7 in each, or whatever it was, okay. That's not the reason why we do this. There's some people, this is their only night to be here, you know. Some that maybe they can be here 2 or 3 days and then they're going to be gone. We just want to make sure everybody has an opportunity to give. Amen? All right? So what I'm going to do, I'm going to, rather than exhort over an offering like that, I'm going to teach you some life lessons that I've learned on this journey. Okay? Because just like he said right there, how do you run a Bible college for free, basically? And, you know, it's by faith. In other words, you do know that will not work in the world, right? But if you do it the way God says do it, then he takes ownership and he will provide. I don't care if he has to drop dollar bills out of ravens' mouths. Somehow he will get it done. So let's look at this. Go ahead and open up to Matthew 6. But I'm going to combine it in a way that you might not have seen it quite before with Mark 11. And I remember when I first read Matthew 6 as a new Christian all those years ago. See, I am a guy who knows what it is to serve the God of money. Before I got saved, I'll just tell you straight, money was my God. Every decision that I made, now I got saved at age 33. So I'm talking about early 30s and, you know, young married man and, you know, money was my God. I'm just telling you, money was my God. Every decision that I made, how will this affect our financial future? How will this affect the house that we live in? How will this affect where we educate our children? And that every single decision. In those days, you could have offered me a $10,000 raise to move to the desert somewhere where there's not a church for 100 miles. I probably would have taken it because what mattered to me was the $10,000. You understand what I'm saying? So I do know what it is to serve the God of money. Well, Jesus addresses that here in Matthew 6, and then starting in verse 24, he says, "No man can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." Now notice how strong this is. You cannot serve God and mammon. He didn't say you can serve both with great difficulty. He didn't say it's possible. He said you cannot. And those of you that Bronk could come, Jim could come, L.A. now could come, you're going to find out serving God and serving money are almost two opposing things. God sees money like a river. Mammon sees money like a dam. that's the truth, you know. No, you need more, you need more. You know what the cry of the flesh is? Just a little bit more. I don't care if you just ate a whole coconut cream pie. If your neighbor, if your wife is eating a piece, you go, I just need a little bit more. It's like the horse leech. It never says enough. Never says enough, okay? That's the God of mammon. And God, he'll tell you to do things that make no sense if your mind is programmed to serve mammon. Like, oh, just run a free Bible college. Yeah. Uh-huh. Like in us in the early days, I want you to send these cassette tapes free around the world. We were believing for supper. We didn't know where supper was coming from. And he said, I want you to send these cassette tapes free around the world. And in those days now, how many of you still remember cassette tapes? Okay. All right. A few. We got a few here. Okay. They were about this. Anyway. It was expensive. Now, we could produce six tapes for about $6. I mean, by the time you bought the plastic and the label and had to have a duplicator and pay somebody to run the machine, it turned out to about $1 a tape, you know, back in those days. But to mail that to, like, Poland, it might be $24 to mail six tapes. And then if they gave you a bad address, it came back, and they didn't refund the money. I mean, it cost thousands. He was asking us to do this. We did not know where supper was coming from, you know? And he's going, so we'd pray, and he wouldn't relent. He'd just, I want you to do this. I want you to send them for free. And, you know, he had this attitude of like, God, have you seen my checkbook? And I felt like he was saying, have you seen mine? Trouble is, I couldn't find his. I just looked in mine. It was like nothing. All right, let me continue reading a little more here now. I don't want to take up, I want to hear Bronk tonight now. No man can serve two masters. We read that. Now, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Now that means anxious thought. It's not wrong to plan paying your bills and have a savings account. He's talking about don't worry. The thing he's talking about here, don't worry. Take no anxious thought for your life, what you're going to eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? And in my mind now, as I read this, being a Christian a long time, he's trying to get very low and talk to us. It's like, Jane, see the ball. I wish you would quit worrying. Look, behold the birds, the fowls of the air. They don't sow, neither do they reap. They don't gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more to him than birds? You know? Which of you by... Now, see, this one really meant a lot to me, because I'm not real tall. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Hey, a cubit would be good. A cubit is from the elbow to the wrist. I would love that. I would love that. And I tried it by thought. Cubit. But no matter how much thought I took, I couldn't change it, see. I don't have any power to do it. In other words, my worry is not going to make a difference, is it? Isn't that right? Verse 28. And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. Now, he's talking about his garden now. First, he's talking about his pets. Can I say it that way? Birds. I take care of my pets. Trust me, I'll take care of you. Look at my garden. These lilies, aren't they pretty? You know? He says, consider the lilies of the field. They grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, Jane, see the ball. I take care of my pets. I take care of my garden. And you are much more precious than them to me. See this? Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, in other words, based on all of that, don't take anxious thought saying, oh, what are we going to do? See, this is what the children in the wilderness did. Oh, you brought us out here to die. Oh, that we would have died in Egypt. No, you brought us out here. There is no food and there is no water. He's warning us. It's a gentle warning. Don't be like that. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? After all these things do the Gentiles seek. What he means is the Gentiles who have no God. So their whole life, from the birth to the grave almost, their whole life is occupied with these things. And they have to be, because they have no provider. They have no covenant. They have no Father, no Father God. For your heavenly Father, he's not their Father. He's your Father if you have faith in Christ Jesus. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Now here it is, the secret of secrets when it comes to finances. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In Jim Martin's case, as he sought God, he said, I want you to get a doctorate. I don't want to go to school. I'm out of school. I don't like school. I don't want to go. I know how the flesh is, you know. You know, I want you to fast. I don't want to fast. Anyway, that's me. But he, see, if you're going to seek first the kingdom, he may ask you some things, to do some things that aren't really what your idea of fun. But it's his kingdom. Have you figured that out? It's his kingdom. He needed a Dr. Jim Martin in the earth in order to accomplish his purpose. So then little by little, get your doctorate, okay? As he's approaching the end of that, I'm talking to you about a Bible school. He starts developing a curriculum. God says, that's nice. That's not what I want. Do it this way. And look what's happening now. Reaches around the world. Reaches around the world. Now, this whole thing, go to Mark 11, and I'm going to finish in 5 minutes, I promise, Bronk. Over time, see, that only works, that whole thing in Matthew 6 only works if you have faith in God. Now, we all know this passage, Mark 11, 22, 23, 24. Let's just read it again. It's good for us. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now we could go on. There's still more red letters, but for tonight this is good enough. Let's focus on verse 24. He says, have faith in God. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Here recently, he gave me a little illustration. I was preaching along, and we were going to have communion. And now, this is an illustration. It didn't really happen, but this is an illustration. So it's like tonight. What if we were going to have communion, and I forgot to bring the wafers? I forgot to bring any bread or crackers or anything. And I'm going, oh, man. Because I'm already preaching. The service is already going. What are we going to do? I said, well, I know Alice. There's Alice Galton Mark right there. I say, Alice, I forgot the bread, baby. I said, here, let me give you a few dollars. Would you run down to the nearest grocery store and get some bread and bring it back? Raise your hand so they know who Alice is. That's Alice, okay? And see, I've known Alice for years, you know. But I gave her a few dollars. She says, I said, would you bring the bread? She says, I will bring the bread. But then she's gone. With my dollars. Don't see Alice anymore for a while. And I'm preaching and I'm exhorting and we're getting ready, you know. But what if after about 5 minutes, I started going, well, Alice is still gone. Oh, gosh. She said she was going to bring the bread. I wonder if she really will bring the bread. She's got my money already. I noticed there was a movie playing down at the Bijou down here. See, that would only happen if you did not know Alice. If I had no faith in Alice, that's the only way that those kind of thoughts would ever come to me. See, but if I have faith in Alice, if I know her, those kind of thoughts are ridiculous. That heaven and earth would have to fall away before Alice will not be back with that bread. Now, that's what he's saying. If you take that thinking over to Matthew 6, your Father loves you, knows your needs before you know your needs. He is the God who answers before you call. If you consider yourself his child, he already has your next bicycle in his garage. You understand what you got that? Grandparents, you know what I'm talking about? He already has your needs that you don't even know you need already stored up for you. There is no reason to take thought. Amen? Now that frees you up to be a river and not a dam. Amen? You can give. And really, the only two ways that I see in the New Testament to give, every man purpose in his own heart, what you'd like to give. Or there's times when he will speak to you. He said, I want you to give this much. I want you to give this. Sue and I like to bounce it off each other because we figure God is smart enough, if it's really him, he's not going to tell me one number and tell her a different number. Now, there's been a few times when we didn't hear the same amount. So we just made an agreement in the beginning. Whichever one of us hears the higher number, that's what we're going to give. We figure that's a safeguard against greed. But it is amazing over these years how often, if I hear a number, I'll say, "Baby chick, see if you is there an amount? Are you hearing anything?" And it is so amazing she'll have that same number. Just most, I'm going to say 90 to 95% of the time. It's amazing. All right, so just bow your head. Let's do that.